going to be preaching this morning on how we should pray for the lost. How we should pray for the lost. You know, there's no evangelism without prayer. And no prayer that does not, prayer does not lead to reaching someone for the Lord Jesus Christ is really not real prayer. And so let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. And I do pray that today you speak to hearts. And if there are those here who know not Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I pray that today would be that day that they would hear from thee and their hearts might be convicted and they might be moved. And may this be the day that they would respond and receive Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Help each of us in our prayer lives today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother, I wonder if we get a glass of water or something. That would be helpful. My wife and I, as a preacher said, just got back from China. And my body is getting old and it's feeling the effects of that trip. I've been to the Philippines many times, and so I'm familiar with jet lag. Just before we left China, I got one of those bad colds. And I tell you, 2 days ago, I almost thought I was going to have to call and say, I can't come. My body was all messed up as far as the timing goes. And then this cold settled in. But the Lord has helped me and given me a measure of healing anyway. And we're glad to be able to be here today. Have any of you ever been to China? It was an amazing trip. It really was. And we were surprised by many things in China. But, of course, one of the things is the massive number of people. Thank you so much. The last city that we were in was Shanghai. And that city alone has 54 million people in the one city. Now, all of Canada has 35 million people. So that's pretty amazing to have that many people. Pardon? Did I say, what did I say? 54. Okay. I'm sorry. 34 million people in that city. So I told you my brain was scrambled. And but I was moved by the fact that there's so many people and they don't know the Lord on the whole. Now, there is a movement that many people are coming to know Christ in China, which is a wonderful thing. And but on the whole, Christianity is still repressed and not given freedom. I did not see one church building all the time we were in China. And that's amazing after we're used to seeing church buildings all the time here in Canada. So we need to pray for the people of China. Now, I wonder if you've ever heard a message on how to pray for the lost. I'm sure you do pray for the lost, but have we ever heard a message on how to pray for the lost? We need prayer. Without prayer, things do not change. And rarely do we ponder the connection between the realities of the lostness of this generation and the importance of prayer in reaching the unsaved. Perhaps we've separated these two things that in God's heart always go together. Some writers point out that the New Testament doesn't say a great deal directly on the subject of praying for the lost. And although that's true in a literal sense, it's also true that reaching the lost is always on God's heart. And that's the reason he sent his son to earth. If you have your Bibles, open them please to John chapter 3 or your iPads, I need to say these days as well. I know a lot of people bring their Bible with them on an iPad or even on their phone. And I still like to turn the pages and look at the pages in the Word of God. But John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither doth come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, they are wrought in God. Why should we pray for the lost? Let me give you four quick reasons. Number one, we should pray for the lost because that's the heart of God. Because that's the heart of God. I think the greatest verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why did God send his Son, Jesus Christ, to earth? Because of the lost. He wanted the lost to be saved. And even people that don't know the Bible often know this particular verse. But fewer know verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's God's desire for lost people to be saved. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want to say to you directly, God wants you to be saved. You're one of those we're praying for if you're not saved. God wants you to be saved. When I got saved at age 14, I grew up in a home that my parents were not Christians. Immediately, God gave me a burden for my parents that they would come to Christ. And I started praying for my parents to be saved. Several years after I got saved, my mother got saved. But it was many years later that my father got saved. But we prayed for him every day. We prayed for him in our family devotions. And so our boys, as they were growing up, heard us pray that Grandpa Pennell would get saved. Every day, every night they'd do that. And finally, Grandpa Pennell got saved, and it became so much a part of my son's prayer lives that even after my dad got saved, my boys in their prayer in family devotions would pray. And we pray that Grandpa Pennell will, because it had become a part of their prayer life, that Grandpa Pennell would get saved. And we ought to have that kind of prayer life that we're praying for lost people. Who are you praying for? Do you have a lost mom, a lost dad, a lost brother, a lost sister? Do you have people that you're praying for that you hope will get saved? I'll be going to the Philippines on December the 30th and staying there for a month. We have a number of Filipinos in our congregation. I've asked them to give me the names of people, of their families that are still there that are lost. And if I'm in their area, I'm going to go and see those people and try to win those people to Christ. We ought to always be praying for people. I wonder, do you have people that you're praying for? And I hope that you do. You say, well, I'm praying for some people, but they're never going to get saved. I just know that they're not going to get saved. Well, if you don't pray for them, they're probably not. 2 Peter 3:9 plainly declares that God is patient. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to Christ, should come to repentance. Now, as I read those verses, I don't see any limits on those verses. It's saying there that all, that means all without exception. That means all as opposed to the Calvinistic view that there's a limited number that Christ died for. Christ died for everybody. He wants all to be saved. And Peter says he doesn't mean that there are some that are not going to make it and others that God wants to see go to hell. Absolutely not. If you're not saved, I want you to know God wants you to be saved. It's his desire for you to be born again. And God's love is so broad and so vast, it reaches to the ends of humanity. As the beloved gospel song says, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. And so let's have no doubts about God. God loves the world and he wants the lost to be saved through his son, Jesus Christ. And second, we should pray for the lost because of Christ's sacrifice. Christ came for the lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. Now, Jesus died to provide a way of salvation for the whole human race. Please understand, there's not one way for Catholics to get saved. and another way for Lutherans to get saved, and another way for Presbyterians, and another way for Baptists. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so please understand that the sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient to save anybody who repented of their sins and come to Him and trust Him and believe upon Him and Him alone to save them. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. And then we should pray for the lost because of the example the Apostle Paul gave us. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul reveals his heart for his Jewish friends and neighbors and relatives. He says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And if Paul felt so concerned that he prayed for his own people to be saved, shouldn't we be doing the same? What about your own people? Your own family? Some of you maybe have people in your own home who don't know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Are you praying for them? Are you begging God for their souls? Again, when I got saved, I started praying for my mom and dad. And they eventually got saved, and I had the joy of baptizing both my mom and dad. What a great thrill that is for a preacher to baptize his own parents. And but I started praying for other people in my extended family to be saved. And one by one, they were all getting saved. Until just several years ago, my brother-in-law, who was a holdout, came and they spent Christmas with us, my sister and brother-in-law, and I got a chance to witness to him and gave him a Bible for a Christmas present. And not long after he got home, he called me and told me that he too had accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. It's thrilling to see your family come to Christ. So pray for your family. Paul said he had a great burden for his friends, his neighbors, his relatives. And why should we pray for lost people? We should pray for them, fourthly, because of their lost condition. Their lost condition. New Testament in many places reveals how hopeless and helpless and lost people are without Jesus Christ. Now in this day, people try to turn the whole thing around. The old devil tries to turn the whole thing around. Say, we feel sorry for you Christians because you need a crutch. No, we don't need a crutch. Christianity is not a crutch. And the world needs all kinds of crutches. The world uses crutches of alcohol and drugs and all kinds of perversions and so on to try to get them through. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ is not a crutch. Jesus Christ is an answer. I've been through a couple of hip replacements, and I know that after you've had surgery like that, you need a little bit of assistance, a little bit of help. To walk with a walker for a little while. But I was glad for that walker because that helped me regain strength. Well, Christ will help you to get the strength you need in your own body. You say, well, what's wrong with the lost person? Let me give you a few things that's wrong with the lost person. According to 2 Corinthians 4:4, they're blind. They can't see as they ought to see. They're blind. According to 2 Timothy 2:26, they're captive of Satan's. And so we should pray that they would be set free from the bond of Satan. And according to John 3:18, they're condemned. According to Ephesians 2:1, they're dead. According to John 3:36, they're bound for hell. According to John 6:44, they're helpless. According to 1 Corinthians 2:14, they're without understanding. So there's just a few things that are wrong with the lost. They got all those things going against them, and they need to be saved. They need to come to an understanding of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can make a life whole again. And if you're looking for satisfaction and truth and fulfillment, they're all found in Jesus Christ. This whole sermon could be preached on any one of those words that I just mentioned to you. But taken together, they show us the desperate plight of a person without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you're blind, but you think you can see. You're dead, but you think you're alive. You're captive, but you think that you're free. You're helpless, but you think you can do anything. use me, you're without understanding, but you think you know everything. You're bound for hell, but you think you're going to heaven. Don't be deceived, my friend. You need to get out of being lost and come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Let Him save you, and you'll see what you've been missing. When I was finally able to lead my father to the Lord on a night just before he was going into surgery, first thing he said after he got saved is, I should have done this a long time ago. And the next thing he said was, I guess I'm going to have to change the kind of pop I've been drinking. My dad was an alcoholic and had been bound to that. Well, God delivered him from that immediately and when he got saved. And anyway, I want you to know that once you get saved and your eyes are opened, you'll see how important this matter is of coming to know Christ as Savior. Ponder this question. What do you say to a dead person? Dead men can't hear. Dead men can't see. They can't understand. They can't walk. They can't talk. They can't think. They can't feel. Dead men can't do anything except be dead. Now, you might tell a corpse to run the high hurdles, but they're not going to do that because they have no physical ability to run the high hurdles. They're physically dead. Now, to somebody who's spiritually dead, although they have a body and they can physically respond to your commands, they can't spiritually respond unless God quickens their heart. And that's why you can talk to the lost person until you're blue in the face and it'll do no good. Their condition is hopeless. Without divine intervention of your witnessing will do no good. So what's the answer? You must pray for the lost. You must pray for the lost. Pray that God will open their eyes and give life in the place of death and enable them to hear and to create within them a desire to understand and give them a hunger for the Lord Jesus. For then God can grant them faith to believe the gospel. In short, before we do the work of evangelism, we must fervently pray that God would go before us. I fear that many people miss out on so much in soul winning because they're depending purely upon a method rather than upon the power of the Spirit of God to work in their hearts. Pray and let God go before you, and you'll be surprised at what will happen with your soul-winning efforts. We must pray for the lost. And when we do that, we're saying, God, you go first. If you don't go, then all of our efforts are in vain. Secondly, how should we pray for the lost? What time do you want me to finish? Well, I know better than that. Okay, good. I always tell preachers that well, but we know that there's a time that they better wrap it up. And what is it? The seat can only endure what the... Okay. So I don't want to go beyond your endurance. How do we pray for the lost? This comes in two parts. First of all, we should pray that Christians to speak to the lost. And that's where each of us come in to play. We've been given a command, and that command is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm only aware of one prayer request that Jesus gave us as believers. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. In other words, he told us to pray for soul winners. Now, we can answer that one prayer request of our Lord Jesus by simply doing what he wants us to do and go and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we should pray for workers. That's basic. We should pray that God would move upon our hearts. When's the last time that you prayed for workers? I'm not talking about praying for your pastor. You ought to do that. I'm not talking about praying for your Sunday school teachers. You ought to do that. I'm talking about praying for the other Christians in your church that God would use them to be effective in their witness to get the gospel out. We should pray that God would raise up more workers, more preachers, more missionaries, take the gospel to the world. And then secondly, pray for boldness. Paul says that clearly in Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. We've all been in potential personal soul winning situations where we've chickened out and later we've regretted it. We thought back about the opportunity that we had and we didn't speak up boldly for the Lord, and then we got convicted about it later on. So I should have done more about that. And we thought, well, I didn't want to make the person mad. I didn't want to scare the person off. Where are you going to scare them to? Second hell? Third hell? Fourth hell? Listen, they're on their way to hell. You're not going to scare them anywhere except maybe get the gospel to them and let the Holy Spirit use it and get their heart convicted, and they'll repent and go to heaven. Pray for boldness. Let's not be timid. Let's ask God to make us bold and let His message flow freely through us. Number three, pray for opportunities. I remember when I first got saved and got convicted about sharing the gospel, witnessing to people, that I started praying for opportunities. And then I, you know, prayed that God would open my eyes to the opportunities that He gives me every day. Well, I had so many opportunities coming my way that I had to pray that God would just give me wisdom to deal with all the opportunities that He sent my way every day. And each of us ought to do the same sort of thing. We ought to pray, God, give me boldness to speak clearly on the open doors that You give me with the gospel. And then fourthly, pray for clarity. Colossians 4:4. Clarity means presenting the gospel in a manner which makes sense to those who hear it. You're getting, Lord, help me to speak Your truth so that even a lost person will know that what I'm speaking about. So we need to pray that Christians would speak to the lost people. And then we need to pray for the lost that they might listen. There's several things we want the lost to do. We want them to have receptive hearts. We want the lost as well to have their spiritual eyes opened. We want the lost as well that they might have God's attitude towards sin. And you know, that's becoming a big issue these days. The lost don't look at sin like God looks at sin. Even God's people don't look at sin like God looks at sin, I'm afraid. Sin needs to become exceedingly sinful to us once again. But instead, we have a world that says, well, this isn't sinful and that's not sinful. These things that we used to be taught were wrong. There's nothing wrong with them. We need to ask God to speak to our hearts and speak to the hearts of those we witness to, that they might see sin for what it really is, might see sin as sin. Pray for three contrasts, that their eyes that are closed might be open, that those that are in darkness might come to the light, and that those that are serving Satan might come to God. And let's let God use us. Pray for spiritual eyes to be open. Then next we should pray that the sinner might have God's attitude towards sin, and we should pray that the sinner might be released to trust Jesus Christ. One of the things the Bible tells us about people that are lost is that they're bound. They don't realize that they're bound, but they are. They're bound by Satan. They're trapped. That's one of the things Satan always wants to do to people. He wants to bind them, wants to ensnare them. And that's why addictions become such a problem this day, because that's one of Satan's favorite devices. Get people addicted to things. Get them addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography or pleasures of this world. Just get them bound up in those things. And we need to pray that they might be released. Christ came to the earth to set people free. And they can be free in Christ Jesus. So let's pray that their lives would be transformed by the gospel. Now, let me tell you in conclusion here as I wrap it up in the next few minutes, God's biggest problem in trying to get the lost saved. When you pray for the lost, remember, you're not trying to convince God of anything. God already knows people are lost, and He knows that they need to be saved. So you're not trying to convince him of that. He already knows about that. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He truly desires that everybody should come to repentance and that everyone should be saved. And so we can pray with confidence, however, that God can do whatever is necessary that lost sinners might come to Christ. I think God's biggest problem is not with the lost. His biggest problem is with the saved. Getting saved people in the position that they ought to be in. He knows how to deal with sinners. God's biggest problem is with the saved. We don't pray as we ought to pray. We don't stand where we ought to stand. We don't believe like we ought to believe. We don't do what we ought to do. And we must pray. And we must preach that God's ordained method will be put into practice in winning the lost to Christ. Could God have decreed to save the lost in some other way besides our prayers and preaching the gospel? Well, of course he could have. But that's not what he decided to do. When we pray and when we share the good news of Jesus Christ, God moves from heaven on the hearts of lost people, no matter how hard those hearts are, and these people begin to have a new attitude toward this matter of salvation. I've seen some terrible hardened sinners come to Christ. And God can break the hearts and break down no matter what those walls are. And so salvation is of the Lord. We need to talk to God about people before we talk to people about God. Salvation is a great miracle. And unless God divinely works, no sinner will ever be saved. Our eloquence avails nothing unless God grants the sinner eyes to see and grants ears to hear. But even uneducated Christians can win people to Jesus Christ if they care enough to weep over lost sinners and will go to them with a broken heart and with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where should we begin in applying this message this morning? Here's some practical suggestions. First, make a list of people that you know are lost and begin praying for them. Make a list. Put it somewhere where you'll see it on a regular basis. Maybe in the front of your Bible, so that every day when you open your Bible for your devotional time, you'll see that list of names and begin praying for them. Pray daily for those people. And secondly, pray with others for the lost. That'll build up your faith and help to keep you from getting discouraged. Number three, as God begins to answer your prayers, write down the answers to those prayers beside the name of those people. Fourth, be ready to be part of God's answer to your prayers. Did you hear that part? Be ready to be part of God's answer to those prayers. I'm telling you, don't just pray that God will send somebody to talk to these lost people. You go to see those lost people. You talk to them. God doesn't usually send somebody else. He does sometimes, but he's usually after us. Once he burdens our hearts about somebody, he wants us to go and do something about reaching those people with the gospel. And then fifth, trust in God's timing. Don't rush the Lord. Experience suggests that praying for the lost takes time, effort, endurance, long-term perspective. Not every sinner that we pray for will get saved immediately. Give God time to work and don't despair. Someone prayed for you. Did you ever realize that? Somebody prayed for you, for your salvation. George Mueller of Bristol, England, was known as a man of prayer. Without ever asking for funds and living entirely by faith, he established 5 orphanages in Bristol and provided care for some 10,000 orphans over a 60-year period. His journals record in minute detail how God directly answered thousands of his prayers. But toward the end of his life, he remarked that he had prayed for 2 men to be saved for over 55 years. and they hadn't come to Christ yet. And someone said, "Don't you feel like giving up?" And he said, "Oh no." He said, "Why would God burden my heart for these people if he hadn't planned on saving them?" Well, just before Mueller died, one of those guys got saved. And just shortly after Mueller died, the other one got saved. So don't give up and don't quit. Because God is God, and because a true prayer burden comes from the Lord and not from us, we may well believe that if God burdens us to prayer for certain people or a group of people, it's because he intends to work a miracle of saving grace. If you need a final reason to pray for the lost, here it is. You came to Christ because somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for you. Might have been a godly mother or father or a friend or someone that had witnessed to you, or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader or a deacon or a missionary or a fellow student or a co-worker. Somebody prayed for you. Someone cared enough to talk to you about Jesus and pray for you. Don't ever think that you came to Christ on your own. You didn't. There were other people involved. And if someone prayed for you when you were lost, don't you think you ought to do the same for somebody else? I truly believe that God earnestly desires for everybody to be saved. And I know this is true because he's done everything necessary for people to be saved. No one needs to go to hell. If someone goes to hell, they'll never be able to shake their finger in God's face and say, "I never knew." God has done everything possible for people to know the gospel. And those who trust Jesus Christ are saved by his blood. They should invite somebody else to be saved too. When we pray for the lost, we're saying, "If you go to hell, you'll go there over my prayers." God puts roadblocks in the way of people coming to know Jesus. And the roadblocks, rather, from people going to hell. Our prayers stand as the last barrier between the lost and eternal damnation. We should pray with faith, "I will not let you go to hell. My prayers are greater than your unbelief." We should pray this with faith. Many times lost people don't want to hear our witness. They'll say to us, "Don't ever mention this to me again. I don't want to hear about it." They may even throw us out of their house because of our bold witness. But through our tears are streaming down our cheeks sometimes when we're walking away, we can still pray for them. "Lord, save that soul." Let's pray for the lost. Pray. Keep on praying. Never give up. Never, never, never. Never, 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 never give up. Let's keep on praying as long as God gives us breath. And when we finally get to heaven, we may discover that God used our prayers and our tears in a way that we never imagined. And around the throne of God, we'll rejoice together as we see people who got saved that we'd been praying for.